He came to Baba in 1979 for helping for service at Peace Village and New Jersey while also working as a property manager for Laukik Income. So this is his bio data. So let's give him a big hand. Today he's going to share his experience, how he revises Sakha Murli. All of you enjoy Sakha Murli? Is it powerful than Avyakt Murli? What do you feel? Who feels Sakha Murli is powerful than Avyakt Murli? Raise your hands.
Good question, huh?
Higher.
Sakha Murli.
Who feels, is it clear question? Who feels Sakha Murli is powerful than Avyakt Murli?
More.
Once again. Raise your hands, please. Okay. Who feels Avyakt Murli is more powerful than Sakha Murli?
Hey, Avyakt Murli is good too.
Okay, what about others, those who are not lifting their hands? No? Stable? Both are powerful? Who feels both are powerful? Raise your hands, please. Okay. No, majority of them are in this. Okay. Big hand to all of you. Okay. Then I request Brother Pierre to go on with his experience regarding the topic. Om Shanti.
So when we come into Gyan, you know, what do we have? We have nothing, actually. No tools, nothing. We're confused. We're still confused sometimes. That's Maya's job, is to make us confused. You know. And in the scriptures, they talk in the Ramayana, it talks a lot about how Sita was trapped. And her only connection to Ram was different signs, different signals. Like Ram left a ring one time. Ram sent Hanuman. But there was one who was unconscious, actually, Ram's brother, in this story. And Hanuman had to revive him. So the story goes, Hanuman was sent to a mountain to get a particular herb growing on that mountain. And he went there. He said, oh, I have to get this herb to, you know, to help Ram's brother, to bring him back to consciousness, because he lost it. But he couldn't tell what herb to bring. The plants looked the same to him. So he was Hanuman, the brave. So he grabbed the whole mountain. And he lifted it, and he flew, and he carried it, and he brought it to where Lakshman, Ram's brother, was unconscious. And then the herb was found, and it was given to him. So this is that mountain. There's an herb. There's something in here, right? For each one of us, we're all unconscious. We're all working in different areas, you know? But there's something in here. Sometimes more than one thing for us. We don't know what it is. But usually, always, it changes our mood. For the past 2 years, I've been on my own. I haven't been living in a center or even close to center. I've been in a city where I can only go center twice a week. I have to drive 40 minutes. But I have my Morleys, you know? And so the Morley, the whole pack of Morleys for the week, I've been reading twice, three times a day. It's been very, very good. Very, 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 very good. So many nice points come today. So, when Bab Dada first started delivering Morleys, he would go on and on, sometimes an hour and a half, 2 hours. Back in the 40s. They had time. They had less service. There were few people. So what did you do? You went play games. You did karma yoga. You dressed up as deities. You know. Right? Yeah, a little slower. But so they lived as a core, as a family. And then so much of the time was spent with Baba, playing badminton or cooking or listening to Baba's Morli. Baba would speak to them every day in the morning. How many fathers give us that kind of a sustenance? Lokic father has time for his children. He may have two children, but he's busy. Okay, do your homework, go, you know. But Baba spent time with them every day. But as the organization grew, and in the 60s they started having centers all around India, and Baba was writing letters an hour a day in the afternoon. He would write letters, personal letters to people. Some he had met, some he hadn't met. So there was a lot of outreach going on, and there was, in 69, maybe 70,000 students. So in the late 60s, Mama said, "Look, Baba, you have to shorten your moralese. You have to say what you need to say in 1 hour, because people work and they come to the center and then they have to go. And if they leave during the middle of the moralese," you know, Mama was very practical. She was the head of the organization, right? She was in charge of the Brahma Kumaris World Spiritual University. So she said, "Baba, look, you know, you have to say what you need to say in 1 hour." And so what we have are the last 5 years of Brahma Baba's life, the moralese that have come through, and the knowledge was really refined and perfected in his own mind, Brahma Baba's. His words, his ideas were streamlined. And what needed to be said was said in those last 5 years. So the thing is, you want to stay 5 years, 10 years, stay in Gyan, 15 years. You know? Because you'll hear each morally once, twice, three times, and it's very different. After 5 years, the same morally is very different. You know, you've changed. The situations have changed in the world. Even the translations have changed. 30 years ago, the morally, if you got a morally, you would see writing on every piece of blank paper. Every, you know, there was no wasted space. It had writing on this one. So you had to start one page and then flip it over to a second page and then flip it around to a third page. And the translation was a little rough, you know. It was actually from London. The English morals were from London, live. So whatever the sister holding the Hindi morally wanted to say, based on what she was reading from Hindi, it came out like that, and then they would write from a tape. Anyway, is this interesting to you? A little history? History is a very interesting, especially when I was new. You know, who was Brahma Baba? And he had all these gurus, and then all of a sudden he started taking charge of his own spiritual life. Even before Shiv Baba came, he was talking to his mind, talking to his intellect, practicing meditation deeply. He would walk in, when he was in Bombay, he would walk along the seaside with relatives. And then Dadi Janki says she saw him walking once and walked by, and she was amazed at his stage. She had no knowledge. I'm not even sure if he was in Gyan at that point. Maybe he was, maybe not. But she was amazed. Wow, Dada. He had reputation of being spiritual, even as a devotee. Right? He was always, you know, a very good devotee. But he prepared himself for Shiva Baba. He was preparing for this, you know. I think, and we all, right, we come into Gyan ready. Baba had to find us at a certain time in our life, you know. And then, if Baba had come, if I had seen the flyer, if I had met the sisters and brothers at the center a year earlier, I wouldn't have clicked. So, yeah, morally is interesting. Any questions from today's morally? And we can go point through points. Some good questions can come. Baba talked about the sacrificial fire of Rudra. And he said we should value the sacrificial fire of Rudra. I mean, in India, that's how you get things done as a group, as a village. If there's a drought, everybody says, okay, we have to do something big time. We're going to get all the priests, the Brahmin priests, we're going to make a fire. Wealthy donors will donate seeds, rice, all the paraphernalia. We're going to collectively start our prayers, our mantras, until the sacrificial fire is finished. So it's a lot of commitment. It's a big investment of time, energy, money, and you follow disciplines during that time. Everybody agrees we're going to follow certain disciplines in our lives. And then the omens are removed. The calamities are removed. You know? So Baba says, the Rudra is another name for Shiva. And it's the Shiva, not the Shankar side of Shiva, where you see with the snakes, you know, and the but Rudra is the incorporeal side. Just light. So in bhakti, you know, it's mixed up, but there's a lot of seeds of reality mixed into it. If I say anything wrong, fill me in. But they say the rosary of Rudra is just souls, you know. So not only is Shiva worshipped, but Shaligrams are worshipped. They're like Shiva, they're little. You know, if you have a wealthy donor, he'll make 108 or 16,108 for a sacrificial, for a religious, you know, rite. They'll make many, many Shaligrams. And they'll worship Shiva and all the Shaligrams. So we become worship-worthy through association with Shivaba, through Gyan. But you know, Baba talked about Christ today. He didn't just talk about Hinduism. So morally is all the world's religions. Everything is included in morally. Anyone of any path can get something. In fact, anybody who comes to this university is a hero actor in the drama. Any great scientist, any great general, any great businessman, any great inventor, political leader, of course, all the eight deities who are worshipped in India, all the gods and goddesses, they all study at this university. So every great bad person too. They have to have taken something from Baba to gain their power, but also ultimately to find their downfall. Baba said very, you know, straightforward today. If you know what happens when your intellect is divorced from Baba, he's always, he loves us, but he also cautions us. So Baba is very sweet and very strict. But like in the song, in the Morali, one of the Morali songs, I love your thorns and I love your flowers. So we get to know Baba in many forms just through his Morali. So we are protectors of the Yajna and the Yajna protects us. Like, you know, I came here in my 20s. I was a 20-year-old boy, you know. Making efforts. Honest, you know, sometimes defeated. Coming, still studying. Baba meets me and says, Baba, appreciate your courage, your enthusiasm. But if you run out, keep remembering Baba. Keep studying. And you'll move forward. That kind of sustenance, that kind of from big brothers, sisters, daddy's love, daddy's regard, keeps the soul going. But if nothing else, I have to read Morali because all those memories are included in your Morali. So that brothers would say, remember, if you protect your purity, purity will protect you. You know, Baba can only work with you if you, you know, taking care of yourself. So Baba said, talked about divorce. Ooh. In India, there's no such thing as divorce. Not until more recently. But about divorce. So it's the study. It's our first relationship is study. Baba says, don't miss the Morali. Listen to it. If you don't listen to it, it means you divorce the father. Baba says, children, never divorce me. Question, why is it that people find it difficult to understand your true knowledge? And because it's very short time that it lasts, Baba says, this knowledge doesn't continue since time immemorial, you know, since forever, no. It will now disappear. It's like Here today, gone tomorrow. One time only. Multi-millions at every step. You know the advertisers? Today. Buy now. Buy now. Claim your inheritance. This knowledge is new, and that's why they find it difficult to understand. But you know, if you've done bhakti, the old bhagats understand this knowledge. Something. Our job is just to keep studying and sharing. Baba's devotees, the old souls, they'll come. You know. And Daddy used to say, never see someone think someone is not a Brahmin. If they come to you, see them as Baba's child. See them as a Brahmin. And they can become it. At least you're being positive. You're not having a negative thought. If we think, oh, they're impure, they're degraded, or they're buddhus. It's the karmic account. They'll curse you at the end. Say, you and your God. You go to hell too. You'll be back in hell and I'll get you. And whatever. There'll be that feeling. But if they got blessings, they'll say, you know what? They thought I was a yogi. I thought I was a Brahmin. I could be an angel. They thought that highly of me. Right? Like what was brother saying the other day? Baba doesn't see our defects. Because if he did, it would be a curse. He just focuses on our strengths and encourages us. Because he needs 900,000 subjects. Brahma Baba, all he needs is 900,000. Then he'll be finished with the Murlis. He'll be finished coming. He'll be finished his work. He can go and the Kalpa can finish. He needs, and we have more than 900,000 students. And they say, Baba, we have 11, how many? A million. Baba goes, good. But is this the same million as next year? How many millions come? Every year, many new ones raise their hand, you know. But then, are they following all the disciplines? Are they, you know? So, who likes happiness? You like happiness? You like sadness. Happiness, sadness. It's okay, but it can be deceptive, you know. I think what Sister Denise said once, she said, happiness, don't aim for happiness. Because then you're going to have sorrow. It's just the way life is. You're going to have, it's not going to work. But bliss is the thing. And bliss comes, you can be working for very little money, long hours, in a sooty, burned out building, with people who are not happy themselves. And you can create a good atmosphere and positive outcomes only because you have bliss. The bliss is there because you go, wow, you know, things have changed right now in my life. Things are different because I chose this. So you just laugh inside. Bliss is like a chuckle you get from Morley. How many are impure, degraded? Sinners. In the Morley, Baba says we're high souls, we're elevated souls, we're world servers or angels. He also says the opposite sometimes. And both are true. We get happy, we get depressed, we go through. But bliss is where you can be in, you know, a yogi is beyond that, right? Praise and defamation, happiness and sorrow. So Maya's job is to make us blissful, actually. You know. Baba's job is to be, he's always blissful because he doesn't come in the cycle. This point about true nuns. Well, it says, you are true nuns because you remember the One. Nuns wear a cross around their necks. They remember Christ and believe Christ was the Son of God. You know that Jesus, Christ Jesus, was not the Son of God, but that the Christ soul is the Son of God. So, Baba's name is, in Hinduism, is Sadashiv, always Shiv. And everyone else's name is based on their body. Krishna, Rama, whoever. Our names. You identify a soul. There is a soul there. But how do you identify? You name their body. But Shiva Baba doesn't have his own physical body. So he's always soul. So he's always blissful. So you can go everywhere with this. So, yeah, Morley can change your mood. Morley, you know, carry notes. What did Ramnath say? Carry just in your pocket. Every time you eat three times a day. That's important. You want to eat. He's like, oh, yeah, another 2 hours I can go have a nice dinner, lunch, you know? Mama says to Morley, some children, all they think about is food and drink. He's talking about me. That's how I live my life is, ooh, my next meal, you know? But if you're really intoxicated with service or project, where you wake up in the morning and you're writing articles after meditation, you know, and you have some aim, you're ready. Okay, class is 5 more minutes. Let me just finish and I'll run to class. You're intoxicated. And the food is all secondary, you know? So, yeah, I don't have any plans for this class other than read Morley points. You have a question? Oh, this is a great... I was going to talk about this. Thanks for asking. Do you know the essence, question, dharana, blessing, slogan? Did they come from the original Morley? No. Sometimes when I'm reading Morley to new people or even if I have... I don't read Morley much in class to people, but if I did, sometimes I just start with the Morley, just the song. But this essence... You know, we have essence, sweet children, you should value this sacrificial fire. The question and answer, this was put in the Morley in the 60s. It's extracted from the Morley. It's just to keep warm up our brains, you know, because we come from our job, from our driving or whatever, from our wake up. You come sit there and you have a little song play and sisters giving drishti and then lights go up and then this is a... to get the intellect going. Because we get stuck, you know? Our intellect gets stuck all the time in habitual stuff. So no, this was put in later. Raju does it. And Raju gives great, maybe if you catch him sometime to give class. He's the king of the Morley, the trustee of all the Morleys. And Didi gave him that job. Didi was the first co-administrative head. Didi's picture is... See, was the counterpart of Dadi Prakashmani. Didi was a mother, actually, when she came in Gyan. And a lot of the other daughters were just Kumaris. But so she was from a very wealthy family. But she had that... Vinod, remember Vinod a couple days ago? We had the picture of Baba. He gave you a photograph of Baba. Anyway, he was very close to Didi. Didi had a penetrating gaze, a very powerful intellect. And she lived in Madhuban and worked with Brahma Baba very closely. A week before he was left the body, he sent her to Bombay. And he brought Dadi Prakashmani here. And some say it was a good thing, because she was so close to Baba, she would have left the body too if he left the body. And her style was very, she had a seriousness and she even followed him in his mannerisms a lot. She's a very special soul. She left the body in 83. So anyway, she gave Raju that duty to take care of Morley's and put this together. Yeah, the blessing especially. The blessings are based on Avyakt Morley, after. And that's when I really woke up. I love that blessing today. It was beautiful. This was making me, never wilt because of the storms of Maya. So that's a part of the game. You never conquer Maya. Even Brahma Baba made effort to his last day. He had to go, okay, I need to brush my teeth, I need to go to class, I need to make effort. You know, he didn't get, I'm going to be Narayan, I'm number one. He just, no, he, so it's, you have to kind of find new ways to make the same old effort. Like, you know, we have the same recipes, same lunch, generally, but it's new because it's served by somebody new. It's a new day, you're having lunch with a new person, you know, and you make it interesting. Or sometimes you aren't having chili, sometimes you're having, you know, but, so morally it's like that too. It says, always remain happy, but don't rely on happiness. That's my point. Bliss is something beyond happiness. Happiness means cheerfulness, I think, here. Like, be cheerful. You may not feel great, but smile anyway. Why? Because it's a practice. And then it catches up with you again. And then you can step into it. You know, since scars are on our face, and what we think about, what we do, becomes part of us after a while. Becomes like it's stuck on us. So you have to kind of, you know, pull yourself out of it. Two, maintain the intoxication that the incorporeal father is teaching you. Wow. Don't have any desires in this false world. But that's the whole nature of the whole world, false world. You have to have a desire and chase after it. Otherwise, what's the point? So, you have to leave the whole world. Any more questions? Or should we play some games or do some? What you got? Big question. Do you want to use the microphone? Is English? Great question. This is a really good question. It's very delicate, yet touchy issue. Islam is a huge faith. And from what we call Jewish religion is a small number of people, actually. But regardless of that, from what I understand, Abraham had two sons. One went to continued what Abraham was doing, which was Islam. Not Muslim. Muslim came later. Okay? This is important. Way later. Muslim religion came later. Islam was tradition, the Old Testament. I haven't discussed this with my Jewish BKs lately, but the other thing, his other son founded Judaism. So it's a part of Islam. They're brothers. It's like when Baba says Christianity, there's so many Christian faiths. You know, there was just one Christ, right? And then many versions of the same religion happen. So, actually, Judaism is a part of Islam, a branch of Islam. Now, they have their own ideas about their identity, maybe different than that. But they all trace themselves. Christianity, Islam, and Judaism all are Abrahamic religion. So, Brahma Baba focused on Abraham. See, Abraham is the first prophet, actually. You know, after Silver Age, Abraham, and then Buddha. So if we take out the word Islam, then we're safe. If we don't want to press any buttons, say, okay, first prophet was Abraham, then Buddha, then you can take a deep breath and see how your friends are taking it, you know? But, you know, like Baba says morally directly, there's so much conflict on religion anyway. So if people are wanting to fight about something, if they have the sanskars to fight, why not their religion? It's a good, you know, it's people's nature. Well, yeah, I mean, even my Jewish friends say, okay, there's the Jewish religion, then there's Israel, Israeli identity, which is a national thing, and then there's a, yeah, there's different people identify, some are atheists, but they identify themselves as Israeli, or some are Zion. Now that's a whole nother, Zionism is a political force, it's a whole nother thing, it's so... So then you have Islam, ancient, and then Muslim, much later. With a lot of deep points in it, not always pretty. There's always this, you know, all religions have two sides. They come in the Copper Age, so everything is a struggle. There's a lot of battling going on. There's a lot of inner struggle reflected in that, in the world. But world drama is very interesting, huh? All you can do is take a deep breath and go, Om Shanti. And then try again the next day, whatever. But Om Shanti, man, it's powerful. It's our only thread now. You know, it's like everyone's going to be fighting. More and more fighting and blaming and, you know, people say, you know, there are preconceptions about what it is to be a yogi. You know, or a Hindu, or from India, it's you know, very, you have to wade through a lot. But we have knowledge of all the religions too, which is fascinating. So you can bring things together in new ways and help people understand themselves, because everyone's kind of broken. They have all the pieces there, but they're not, you know, and you can help them piece themselves together. With Morley does it, you know. You children should have a lot of value for the money of the yajna, because it's through this that Bharat becomes heaven. People come, rich Indians, and they see the Brahma Kumaris stuff, you know, like all the university and the campuses and the big buildings and stuff, and they go, wow, foreigners must be, you know, investing in this place, you know. You must have a multinational corporation, something like that. And they're like, sometimes they say that, but the reality is the base, the real financial base, is the poor, middle class, and the poor Indian people who put their 5 rupees a day in Baba's box. You know, and the food especially. There's like, okay, big projects. So you want to build a hospital. Someone's not a yogi, but they love the. When they want to, what can we do for Brahma Kumaris? I said, okay, we'll have a hospital, a rural outreach. We want to do something. And the soul says, yeah, that can. And they feel that. That's their service. That's something they can invest in. But the food, the money for the dailies, that comes from the mothers. You know, Baba says the mothers, they save a little extra from their, you know, their pocket money, and they put in Baba's box. You know, so we don't want to waste it. I cried today. Baba said, they never cry in the golden age, therefore you mustn't cry here. But I cried. It was very nice. There was two singers who sang song after the Morley, you know, two Russian sisters. And I'm in music, and they were singing such a nice song, A Brand New World, you know. And here we are in hell, right? This is hell, right? And we're living, we trudge through, we work our jobs, and we work hard, and we try to meditate, and we try to be free from our old sanskaras. And someone saying, Brand New World, it's just, you know? Because I've been ignoring, they're dancing and singing for many days, you know. I'm like, okay, yes, yes, yes. But the arrow finally hit me, you know. And so when Brahma Baba started this whole thing, it was young girls who were loving Baba so much. Shiv Baba and Brahma, and he had developed a lot of power, but a lot of sweetness, a lot of purity too. And Mama caught it quickly, what was happening, you know. He did all this bhakti, and he was using the bhakti. He would take the Gita and explain the real meaning. Ah, look, you know, God is light, and they said this, da, da, da. And they were like, wow. And when we all meditate, whoa, the whole room changed. But one thing struck me, when the daughters would chant Om, they would go off to different places and chant Om, and people would go into trance. Brahma Baba, he would chant Om. It was powerful too. Thunderous. Like, Om, and they would just blast everybody away. Where the daughters, the sweetness and the soul conscious, through the sound of Om, people would have great experiences. So the bhagats, the old bhagats, were getting the fruit of their bhakti. You know? Amazing. Baba says you have to pay so much attention. If you fail now, you fail every cycle. At the end, everyone will know how much each one of you has studied. Everyone says that they want peace, that is, they want liberation. It's said that everyone remembers God at a time of sorrow. Therefore, there has to be happiness for half the cycle and sorrow for half the cycle. I like that Baba says. Everyone benefits. Liberation and salvation. So, destruction is beneficial. It's a good thing. But this attention, this word Baba said in English, that's a great word because he uses it in Avyakta Murali too. More or so in the past, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he'll be giving Murali and then he'll say, So children, basically what I'm saying is, attention please. Attention please. You know, teacher, attention, you know, like remember Baba more in your day-to-day life. Just do it. So, being in a situation where you're not comfortable and you have to take care of yourself, or you're back in your old environment. Like I moved to a city where I left. I had been away for years and years. So here I am walking around the city in the winter, you know, and cold. And my lokiks are like, well, what's up with you? You know, what are you doing? And I'm like, it's okay, I'm okay. But Murali and remembrance was the key. So that's where the bliss was. You stop for traffic control. Stop for traffic control, walking down the street, stop, sit on, and you're doing service. Wow. Changing the atmosphere. At least changing one's attitude towards the environment. Because we take in everything, or we feel victims of situations, or vulnerable, or delicate. Baba said the other day, don't think of yourself as a woman. Think of yourself as a Shakti, you know. Don't think of yourself as weak. So in the same, don't think of yourself as a human being, a single. In a personal meeting with Baba, he looked at me once, he said, you're a double Kumar, not single Kumar. Right? Think of yourself as combined with Baba. Your name is Pair. Pair means two, combined. So is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? So then you're always, and I said, no, Baba, there's no one else. He said, well, then you're always combined. So, but we need Maya. We have to have Maya to move on. We go, what is Maya? That's when you go, okay, it's all right, forget ever. I will wash my face and go meditate. And wake up in the morning, you're tired, you're lonely, confused, whatever. Om Shanti, you have bad dreams, whatever. It's okay. And you sit in front of Baba and Baba washes your face. Baba opens your heart. Something happens. Hope is there. Happiness is there. Bliss is there. Whatever. So you move on, you know. And then you take the benefit of, oh, I'm in Madhupan. Wow. I don't get drishti at home. So I'm going to enjoy this drishti. It's like air conditioning from the gutty, you know. Coming. Breeze. Wow. And then you realize they're enjoying your attention too. Because half the people are asleep. And then you're awake. They're dozing off. Could you imagine having 50 people, half of them sleep, and you're trying to give them sakash? So you feel, okay, I'm helping the one who's giving drishti, the one who's taking drishti, it's the same, right? Yeah, we're all in this together. So Baba says, be happy, because it's a sanskara. You can create the sanskara of happiness, cheerfulness. You see it in a lot of Madhubanivasis, you know? Just that innocence and that sweetness, and they've been doing, you know, doing that. So, your question, brother? Gyan, between gyan and study. That's a good one. Is there a difference? Gyan is gyan. It just sits there. It's here. But you have to take it up and study it. Sometimes people ask, how long have you been in gyan, brother? And I picked up something from one very clever sister. She says, when people ask her, how long have you been in gyan, or how long has the gyan been in you? You know, I say, oh, that's a good question. So, it's very slippery. Baba says, this is like mercury. Remembrance is like mercury. You know, that very subtle element. It slips. You have to grab it, you know. And the mind is like mercury, you know. The mind is like a racing horse. Mercury, it's an element in the thermometer, and it goes depending. If you have it on your hand, it's very unstable, and it just runs. Mercury. So we become, our mind becomes stable when we talk slowly and we say Om Shanti. Then we're very royal and everything. You know, like that's good practice. But when you have yoga too, every hour or, you know, then things shift. Gyan is like study every day helps, because it changes just a little bit your thinking. But that one change changes your whole day. Like if you're in an airplane and you just move 1 degree on the steering wheel, right? In 1 hour, you're in another country. So it's like in the morning, that input, it's helpful for changing. But then in the daytime too, you know, take a Morley and study it. Then you go, oh, this is nice. Like, you know, totally new. It's a different Morley. Sometimes in the morning it's like, I have to read Morley. Oh, this is, you know, especially if you're reading it yourself. Different when it's here. This is an oral tradition. So you really do need to hear Morley a lot, because there is a magic to it. And we like hearing other people give gyan too. We like, it's good. So this is that's important. But if we have to just study it sometimes, that's hard work. But still, it's different later. And when you study at lunch, it's different. And then when you read it to someone at night, if you have a student and you're reading Morley, it's different, because you have to dance it, share it in such a way that they get it. So then it's, you know, another thing. So gyan and knowledge. Yeah, knowledge is so many. Knowledge is a word for anything, right? In bhakti, they have all kinds of scriptures. Versus all that knowledge is going to be destroyed. But the gyan goes in us in experiences. In our soul, we have some experience, right? We have something, happiness, to, you know, something. Intoxication, you know, and it lasts. So they say, you know, Krishna had all these gopis. He danced with each one. There was one Krishna, but they each thought they were dancing with him, you know. So the moral is like that, right? So many people hear it, and we all feel up. Baba's giving me, you know, nice giving the personal experience. Yeah. The jnani soul has an experienced soul. Some souls are jnani in that they know all the points and they're very good at giving points, and that's okay. But a jnani soul is a realized soul. More like they experience the depth of the point. So when we're bored with morally, you can't force it. Then you need to do other things, you know. Karma yoga, all this is balance, right? And then you go back to morally, it's okay, you know. But you can't just do knowledge. You need knowledge and yoga. Dharana, and then service happens. We like doing service first. Like, I come into knowledge, I want to do service because I get instant feedback. People like me, they think I'm a nice person, I think I'm good, I can do. And Baba helps in service too. Wow, look at all the things happening. Baba does it. But eventually, it's not enough. You have to go back to knowledge. Knowledge is first, and yoga. Those two will lead you to dharana. Application, like applying it. Oh, knowledge says be sweet. Yoga is nice and calm. So let me practice being calm. That's dharana. Let me practice it in a tense situation. Let me be peaceful. Oh, wow, this is powerful. When I shut up, things are good. You know, put a bead in your mouth. The story, there was a bad family situation. Husband and wife came to the teacher, guru. The guru said, oh, the wife has to, she must put a bead in your mouth, otherwise the husband will die. She said, oh, the guru said, so she put the bead in her mouth. But what happened was there was no arguing. So the home became happy and everything was fine. So Baba says, Kian tells us to be quiet sometimes, you know. So yeah. Any ideas? I don't know. Do you have any more questions? I've been sharing a little bit. Well, okay. So I prepared myself for a year before meeting Bama, coming into knowledge. I was 20. When I met the Brahma Kumaris, but I had been doing bhakti yoga. It was called bhakti yoga. We had a guru and we wore white clothes and we would do chanting and singing and all that, you know. And he was good, you know, Hindu thing. But when I was out one day promoting the guru, he was coming to town to give a concert, peace concert. And I went to a big gathering where many booths and stalls were there, a big fair. And I saw in the middle some people with some flags, yellow flags and white clothes and the pictures. And I said, oh, these people would come to see my guru. Right? So I went straight to them. I said, come, you're in San Francisco, I'm also in the same city, you should come see this guy. And some sister, she said, oh, God is our guru. And I said, oh, you know, I had heard that also in bhakti. The guru said, I am not, God is the guru, you know. But it sounded different from them. And what I liked about them initially is they were unique people. Each one was unique. They weren't trying to be like each other. They were just who they are. And like Brahmins, you know, they are who they are. You know, they're each one's personality is special, and I could see that in Baba's children. So then I went to the center just to see, you know, who they were, and maybe one would want to come to see my guru, but no one ever did. They never came. But I took the course, and I had a different teacher each day. In case, okay, he's gifted this, but a different teacher. But the sister, my first class, there was no furniture in the center, just a carpet and pillows, and a picture of Brahma Baba on the wall, and cycle tree. And so I sat down with the wall behind me, and the sister comes. She left me there first, sit there, I'm sitting there. And she comes in, sits on a pillow, and starts staring at me, you know, looking. And I was doing meditation too, with open eyes, you know, in bhakti. So I was looking, staring in this. And then she was giving knowledge the whole time, you know. I kept looking at third eye of the soul, the glasses. Sister Denise, you know, some Sister Denise. Oh, yeah, yeah. So she was very knowledgeful soul, you know. So she gave a gyan for an hour, and I said, how do you know all this? She said, well, you know, the corporeal medium is coming through Brahma Baba. And Brahma Baba looked different than my guru. He looked natural. So I started developing an appreciation for him and the knowledge. And yeah, it's been a very nice experience. And Dadi Janki came a few months later to that same apartment. We had 10 good students, 8-10 Bhakka students. And we would meet twice a day. We would come to the center twice a day for morning class and evening meditation class. But it was a small room, like just 10 by 12 room, you know? And the sisters, then they both stayed in another small room. And that's it. But, and then Daddy came. So they had to make room for Daddy. And we were coming for Amrit Vela every morning. We would drive from all around, and Daddy would, we would all meditate, but then at the last 15 minutes, Daddy would come on the gadi and give us drishti. In this little room, I'd be sitting there. And then before she left, she said, this has been a nice tour for Daddy. She's been to Australia, she's been doing service in London for many years. She said, but you, here in San Francisco, you're at the top. This is the best atmosphere. Likes it very much. It's very good. He said, wow. He said, but you have to work at it. You can't. It's a race, a horse race. So, and she gave us the stamp for Madhuban. She said, okay, we'll see you in Madhuban. So then, a few months later, we went to Madhuban. And we flew to Bombay. And we arrived late at night. I remember getting off the plane and smelling the air, feeling the humidity, the smoke in the air, and seeing the drishti in the people, feeling, wow, I made it back. It's back to India. It's back. This is my home. You know, this is the original land, the place. See, because we want to belong. We want to, who are we? Where are we from? Not just this soul world, but where is our... I was a real bhagat of India. I remember, oh, it's India. I'm in India. Wow, this is good. This is nice. You know, so intoxicated. Yeah, so intoxicated. And the first bhog I ate was chiku. We went to center at 11, 12 at night, you know, and they didn't know what foreigners were. They were a little, you know, wary. It's like, foreigners, wow. So they give us a hotel to stay near the center. And it was, some sisters complained it wasn't very clean and it was a little messy. So the next night we stayed in the center. But the first bhog I had was chiku, which is a little fruit with like caramel, chocolate inside, natural. So yeah. And from San Francisco, we did a play. We brought with us many, you know, souls, and we had a play we wanted to present. It was actually something we performed for Dadi when she had come to San Francisco. one lawyer had made a play about the law, a Lokic lawyer who comes into Gyan. So he's a lawyer. Lawyers are, it's an ugly work. But he becomes a yogi. So his values change. And I had to, I was the, it was called Soul on Trial. How many first timers? First time to Madhuban? First time? Nice. Anyone else for your first time? Raise your hands high. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Lots from Vietnam. There's people at the center where I'm at now, and very sweet souls. They come from Morley, and you know, and they're like, okay, we see Baba on TV, and you know, it's not a mystery so much, you know. But back 30 years ago, was some mysterious place. Sisters talking about Baba comes in the mountains of India. You know, it's powerful, magical, and. But still, you know, you need to come here to get the stamp. Because it's all context. Like, you can tell someone at work about knowledge. And that's, they go, oh, that's nice. But when you bring them to the center, they go, oh, wow. You know, different shift, right? So then they come to the center and you can bring them to Madhuban. Oh, you know? There's like these layers and levels, you know. So we had this play about a lawyer and all his problems, and then he takes gyan and he starts giving gyan to people, and people think he's crazy, and then all the vices come, and you know, so different people acting these parts. So they asked us to do the play to 1,500 people from India, and it was in the courtyard where you sit there where Baba's picture. That's where the stage was. And they had people sitting all on the floor. They put carpet on the courtyard. And there were people from Maharashtra running all the way to the Tower of Peace and then all the way to the gate. People from South India and then all the way to the stairs, up these stairs, there were more people. And so we did our play for all these Bharatvasis. And the daddies were all sitting watching. It was a fun time. You know, back then, my intellect was fresh. I could memorize, you know, a whole play after 3 or 4 days. You know, so memorize all those lines. We would meet in here, Bamdana. So once Baba was, after meeting, he was just speaking generally, and then he said, Baba wants to hear a song from San Francisco. Because he knows we're singers, you know, we sing a lot. And so then they looked at me and they said, oh, you must be the one. So they pushed me in front of Baba. So here I am going to sing a song for Baba. So I sang this song. Don't you know you are a soul? It was a song for service, you know, to others. But here I'm singing for Baba. Don't you know you are a soul? Don't you know we're going home? Now that you've been, you know, like that. And it was a kind of funny moment, a lot of that. But this hall, we would sit very close. All the foreigners would be bunched up, 20 or, you know, 30 of us would be up close. And we had headphones, you know, translation. But we had to introduce ourselves. We stayed for 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. Whereas the people from India would stay 4 or 5 days, 6 days, and then go. Waves of hundreds of people, you know. So they would call us up. We have to introduce ourselves again to each group, you know. So you get up, tell your experience, you know, where you're from, you know. Because we were new. Now it's like, okay, foreigners, good. Oh, great. Okay, good. But everyone was scrutinized, you know. And Daddy would meet us twice a day, you know, give us toli and stuff. You know, so a magical time. Daddy Prakashmani would sit on the gadi during Morley class, and we would stand there and give our introduction. And Daddy was very playful. See, very, very playful. So when the soul would be speaking, Om Shanti, my name is Brother Robert, I am a lawyer, you know, or Sister Peggy, and she would look at the soul and see their sanskaras really quickly, catch them in 1 second. And then so Daddy would, when they were speaking, and Daddy would, you know, act, do a little act. Like if somebody had a little pride, you know, she, you know, or, and everyone would start laughing at Daddy. And the person would be speaking, seeing laughter, and they wonder what the, and they look at Daddy, and Daddy would be, and then they would speak again, and Daddy would imitate them, and she, you know, secretly. Only the audience could see. Very good. So I went up, I said, I am Brother Pear, and I was following this guru, and then I met some, and they said, God, and I was nervous, And she goes, she was doing, so, what can you do? So, the first time I met Baba, I remember, a short meeting. There were 5 Pandavas, 5 of us. And Baba said, oh, 5 Pandavas. Are you the same 5 from last Kalpa? Because this is a whole story in Hinduism about only 5 Pandavas. And they were friends of Krishna. And they fought all the armies of the Kauravas, and they were victorious. Because the Kauravas wanted all of Krishna's weapons. And the Pandavas just wanted Krishna. So because they had Krishna, they won. So he said, are you those 5 victorious souls? And he said, countless, he said, as much materialism is in your countries, and that much sorrow will fall on people's heads. The time of destruction. And he said, are you able to, are we able to help those souls? Are we able to bestow peace? They will come to you begging for peace. That's what he said. They will come as beggars. Can you bestow this? So, you know, and the first morally we heard was about destruction. You know, very powerful morally, all avyakta morally about destruction. On one side, all the vices will erupt. On the other side, all the impure souls will be attacking. On the other side, the devotees will be calling. And on the other side, the elements of nature will be showing their final fearsome form. And so, what will you be doing at that time? Where will you be? Find out, you know, position yourself, visualize that situation. So you didn't have to become bodiless in a second, that kind of, you know, experience. So it was a little much, you know. But hey, didn't they give us toli? Baba was toli, and we, you know, go to dinner, you know. So if God is merciful, drama is merciful, because it doesn't show everything all at once. Otherwise, time is like, somebody said, time is good because it's the universe's way of keeping everything from happening all at once. And I think even this gyan is accumulative and yoga is accumulative. So don't ever give up and don't lose hope. Maya's job is to make you lose hope and think it doesn't matter, not today, it's okay. And that's a problem because you lose the momentum. Even if it's 5 minutes, then if you're late, just do anyway, extra meditation. If you miss it at 4, then do some at 5. Then the next day you do it at 3:30. You know, in other words, you have to be merciful to yourself, but also, you know, strict. I guess, any more questions? I like this point about the name is associated with the form. So our names change. We always change our name depending upon our form. But Baba, his name never changes. I like that point. Also, I like the change of mood. Morally changed my mood over the time during that, you know. And that's good. Because being stuck is a problem. You know, we get stuck in our sanskaras and our stuff. Just keep. Gyan flushes it out, you know. Morally, totally, company, whatever. All this. So, yeah. But it's good to go and come. You know, like some souls say, oh, I could stay in Madhuban, I have a good stage. I could make lots of effort. But it's better to just make effort while you're here, create the sanskara of effort. So then, when you're in the battlefield, you have your tools. And it's nice being in east coast of U.S. now, because we have a good instrument there, many instruments. But Baba's been saying in trance messages, now it's not time to do too much. Keep it simple. Keep your life simple. Do the basics. The basics are your power, your protection, and your comfort. So you're creating a safety net around as a zone, you know? Because Maya's roaming around, you know? Negativity, hopelessness, fear, all this vibration of impure energy. It's just in the world atmosphere. One brother said something nice today. He said, in Karachi, they're teaching people how to sleep. They don't know how to sleep. They're on the internet, TV all the time, and then they immediately try to go to sleep. He said, you have to turn off your cell phone, turn off for an hour before you rest. You want to sleep at 10, you disconnect it. You spend an hour doing other things, visualizing your childhood, good times, and teaching people how to have good sound sleep. Because if the mind is still active and you go to sleep, then you wake up with an active mind. So the conscious mind never rests. You wake up thinking about the same problems as... And Baba in the Morley says that. He says you need to clear your chart, right? Write your chart. Get clear on what was good today, what you could improve, and let it rest. Then go to Baba, just meditate a little bit, then rest. Then you wake up fresh. And then you have good Amrit Vela. So it's, you know, it's this routine. And that's been the message coming in our Bogue messages. You know, so just, you know, simplicity. Because Baba said he's the seed of the whole tree. Right, so in the same way, we are ancestor souls, and our thoughts and our simple life is the seed. It's a concentrated version of the rest of our drama throughout the whole kalpa, and even our day. It goes from our morning into concentration. Our morning's concentrated, and then in the day it goes out. And the branches and the leaves, things happen, interactions. So it's using time management, sleep management. Mama says, okay, you have to wake up in it too sometimes. You have to go to the bathroom. Okay, use that time, spend extra 10 minutes in meditation. Don't just say, okay, all right, then we're back to sleep. You know, develop a taste for different times for meditation. So in Council Rover it's been nice. Sometimes I can get up, you know, extra early, and it's good. It's nice. But when you're doing good, you should be more quiet. My problem is when I'm doing good, then I talk too much, become too because you know, and then you lose energy. People like, they like seeing happy people, but they also worry. They go, it's like a balloon, you know. You don't want to be a gas balloon when you go up, 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 and then immediately lose. So you reinvest You have good meditation, then reinvest that energy and share. So, okay. Yeah, you had enough? So many nice stories.